We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Kay Edwards. Kay is the founder of Outsite Network, an association of senior level consultants that serve mission-driven organizations. The mission of Outsite is to build lasting relationships and be relentlessly helpful. Kay helps her clients ask better questions so they can understand their organizations, their customers, and their marketplace, and turn that understanding into strategies that create lifelong customers. Kay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm excited for our conversation because it sounds like you do a good job of asking questions and helping your clients to understand what questions to ask. But I'm going to be asking you some questions a little bit about that.
Okay.
When it comes to a business relationship, how would you define or outline what a great business relationship ultimately is?
That's a great question. And I think a business relationship really puts the other person at the center without losing sight of what you want and need from the relationship. So if you're just thinking about other people, you can tend to lose yourself and then the relationship isn't real. But if you're just thinking about what you need from the relationship, then it really becomes inauthentic and manipulative and, you know, we like to say slimy. So it's really about understanding what both parties need and want from the relationship and what the relationship can do to benefit both.
I think that's really important, is that it's how can it benefit both individuals, but the one individual should really be putting the other, both people should be putting the other person first to some extent, right? So what's the greatest barrier that you see when it comes to building some of these great business relationships?
I think there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who really instinctively know how to build relationships and they do it really well, but don't often understand the process. And then there are people like me who don't do it instinctively, and there's a little bit of fear. How do I do this? How do I reach out? How do I build a relationship? And I think for the people who do it instinctively, it's really hard to understand or to teach someone. I've seen a lot of senior leaders who are great networkers, great relationship builders, get really frustrated with their team because maybe their team doesn't get it like they do, and they don't understand the process because they're just doing it naturally and it comes easily for them.
Sure. So what are some of those, what are some recommendations that you have so that leaders can overcome some of those barriers that you've kind of pinpointed?
I think one of the things is to be really intentional about it. And even if it comes naturally to you, to understand who are you building relationships with, why, what do you want from the relationships, how do you make that work, how do you put people, other people at the center of the relationships and really meet their needs as you're networking and building your business relationships. And to be intentional about it, schedule things on your calendar, make sure to follow up. We have a practice at Outsite Network that every time we walk out of a meeting, we thank that person either with a handwritten note or by email, and the next contact goes on the calendar right away, even if it's a year out. But we're very intentional about how we build those relationships so that we never lose touch. We don't have those people, oh, I forgot to call you and now 5 years have gone by and now I can't figure out how to pick up the phone and reach out because it feels so weird after 5 years.
Yeah, I think that's really important to calendar it. It took me a little while to realize that I'm not going to remember every single person that I meet, what is the next time I'm going to meet with them or even just what was the reason to connect. I think it's good to add some of those notes for your own self too.
Right.
And you did pinpoint it in that a lot of people have some fear around kind of building relationships and networking and establishing some sort of community to some extent. Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
That's a great question. I thought a lot about, what is that great story? One of my favorites is, this maybe about 6 years ago, was working with a client, and we were helping them build, actually a client located in Europe, we were helping them build relationships in the U.S. It was a nonprofit organization, so they had as their cause helping emerging democracies around the world. And through some networking connections, I found myself having breakfast with the owner of the San Francisco Giants.
Cool.
That was very cool.
Super cool.
And I think, for me, that's the most successful networking story because we were able to connect our client and their interest in democracy around the world. And the owner of the San Francisco Giants, who at the time also had his own nonprofit doing the very same thing. And these two people would never have met each other, but through the networking connections that I had built, was able to bring them together, and they were able to work together. So that was really cool.
That's very cool. And it was a topic of interest that was between both of the parties, obviously.
Right, right.
And you were the matchmaker.
I was the matchmaker, with the help of some other people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a really cool story. Thanks for sharing that. How do you stay in front of or best nurture the community or network and relationships that you've created?
Well, like I said before, it's very intentional. Mm-hmm. And some people might look at the rigor that I apply to relationships and say, ooh, that might be a little creepy. And for me, it's just a way to make sure that we're always putting other people first. So again, always make sure we schedule the next connection. Always make sure I know what I'm going to talk with next about someone, and always understand how am I adding value to this relationship.
I think those are all really good points.
I think there are three things that we do when we connect to other people. Mm-hmm. One is we ask them for something. The second thing that we do is we listen to them. So we ask good questions, and we genuinely want to hear what their response is. And then the third thing that we do is we add value. And one of the things I've learned about relationship building is to balance those three things. So not be afraid to ask people for things, but for every one time I ask, I make sure that I'm listening twice as much and adding value three times as much.
Hmm. So how did you come to that kind of formula?
I think a lot of trial and error, a lot of mistakes along the way. One of the biggest misperceptions about networking is that if you do a lot of favors for people, they'll owe you and do something back.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's the other way around. And this goes back to a famous story from Benjamin Franklin, who wanted to connect to someone. And in order to do that, he asked them to loan him a book.
Interesting. Okay.
So that was his first connection to this person. And someone asked him about it, and he said, well, no one would ever lend a rare book to someone they didn't like. And there's actually some research to back that up, that if I do you a favor, I'm now invested in your success.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never afraid to ask for small things that are easy for people to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also realize that can't go one way continually. I can't keep asking because that's not respecting them.
And I think to some extent, the ask is showing that you're trusting and you are genuinely interested in that individual. But people are also willing to help if it's easy and
yes,
quick and
yes,
it's a win, and then they're feeling good about doing good for you.
Right.
I like that. It's a little bit different approach than a lot of the methodologies today, which is give, 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 mm-hmm, and then ask.
Right. It's not what most people think of as great advice for networking.
Mm-hmm. I like it, though. It's a different spin, and to some extent, it's differentiating yourself, and I'd imagine it's been quite successful for you as well.
It's been fun to watch how people react.
Uh-huh, I'm sure. So someone who's really looking to build their network, what advice would you offer to that individual?
Well, again, be intentional. But the other thing that I've learned that works really well, when I first started my firm about 20 years ago, there was a rule that I created that said, I never walk out of a meeting without asking for someone else I should meet. So without asking for a referral. So build a great relationship, have a great conversation, and then say, who else should I be meeting with?
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. And has anyone said, well, there's no one else, or is it, I mean, I would
some
imagine
people
to some
will
extent.
Say, I can't really think of anyone
sure.
offhand, and that's fine. And many, in most cases, people will say, well, here's someone that I think would enjoy meeting you.
Okay.
Here's someone who might be interested in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other rule is if someone makes that introduction, I, as much as I possibly can, actually follow through on that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's more important to some extent than the cold outreach.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Regardless if it's going to be something that will be a positive relationship or not, I think it's still worth acknowledging the individual that gave the referral,
mm-hmm.
and you're more so doing it for that individual than
right.
Than
right. And I do make a point to go back and thank the person who
mm-hmm.
referred me.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Okay, so a lot of what we're talking about and what we have talked about is really focused heavily on that traditional face-to-face activities.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, today's day and age, digital has really evolved. So when it comes to digital networking and traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I really like face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
but I understand that digital has its role as well.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them as tools, and in some situations, digital is more appropriate. And in some situations, face-to-face is more appropriate. I try to use all of the tools available. I love LinkedIn. It's a great tool and
mm-hmm.
have lots of connections on LinkedIn. I love email. More and more people are texting. I still love picking up the phone. I think a lot of people don't anymore, so it's a little... I think it makes me stand out a little bit.
Okay.
And I always say, is this a good time to talk?
Yep.
And I'm always really willing to have them say, no, let's talk some other time. I think it's a muscle that we have to exercise. I created a thing about 5 years ago called the Very Random Database Project.
Okay.
I pick one name out of my database every day and reach out to them. Sometimes it's a phone call, sometimes it's a message on LinkedIn, sometimes it's an email, whatever I think is appropriate for that person and how we connect. And I ask them a question. It's not about sales, it's not about business, it's, I would love to hear this question, how you answer this question in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really easy, quick, hey, I'm thinking about you, would love to hear your answer to this question. The question for this year is, what does the world most need you to do?
Wow.
And I've hit, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll get voicemail. You know, maybe somebody doesn't respond to my email, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the one time out of that 10, people respond, and the answers are beautiful, and it's just such a gift. I love when people answer that question.
So are you doing anything with that information?
We are starting a gallery wall on our website.
Okay.
And with people's permission,
sure.
either anonymously or we will cite them, putting up their answers. And so far, everybody has given me permission to use the answers.
Well, it's a fascinating question. I can't imagine that you'd get some answers that are duds, but to any extent, I mean, it's a question that really makes you think about it, and it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of self-reflection to some extent.
I don't know how I'm going to top this question for next year.
Sure.
But I'll work on that.
Yeah. Well, you've got a little bit of time.
I do.
okay. That was really, really good and insightful. And obviously, I like how you're using technology to kind of maintain relationships by LinkedIn, emails, and whatnot. But obviously the face-to-face is extremely powerful when it comes to building relationships.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to a fun question here. Okay, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
My 22-year-old self, when I first started in this business after college, every time I had to make a phone call, and this was back in the day before email, before the internet, tells you how old I am. Every time I had to make a phone call, I had to write down every single word I was going to say on the phone because I was so introverted and so scared of picking up the phone and so afraid of what the person on the other end would say. I would tell myself, be less afraid, for one, and then I would tell myself, hear no more often. Be bold enough that people are going to tell you no. Because I think I've spent a lot of time always wanting to hear yes and not pushing the envelope enough that I heard no enough times. So that's what I would tell myself.
That's interesting. And be okay with no.
Yes.
It's really, I think that's the important part is something that I've learned over the years is that it's okay for people to say no. And actually taking the risk and asking the question is more important than hearing the answer no. I think, because you don't know. It could have been a yes.
One of my favorite sales mentors once told me that no is the first step on the way to yes.
I've heard something
along
those lines before.
And I've taken that to heart.
I like that. Really good statement. All right, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
The short answer is yes, I think I can. So when I was doing my MBA, this actually was a project of ours. We were assigned the task of identifying a leader that we admired and reaching out to them and interviewing them and writing a paper on it. Well, this was the time when, right after Mel Gibson had produced The Passion of Christ, and I thought that was such a beautiful portrayal of that story and just a great work of art, I decided he was going to be the leader that I interviewed.
Oh, wow.
And I got within 1 degree of him.
Cool.
And I ran out of time, so I had to quickly find someone else to interview and do my paper. But I think if I had to go do that again, I could actually get to him.
So why did you stop?
I ran out of time.
There's all the time in the world. The paper doesn't have to be the end all.
I should have. Yes, that was maybe an occasion when I wasn't bold enough to hear no, right? So I think, yeah, that was a great example of I almost got there and gave up, and I should have kept going.
Well, you should continue going.
I should continue. I think one of the people that I would love to connect to is the author Frederick Buechner. I love his writing, and I do think that I could get to him within 6 connections.
Sure.
Because I think I know someone who knows someone who used to be in a writing circle with him at a church.
Oh, wow.
So that's 2 connections. So
okay.
We could try this.
So are you going to do it?
Maybe I should.
You should.
I should,
and
yes.
Then you should report back.
I should.
All right, so one of the things that I love hearing about from my guests is what are they doing for their own kind of professional development and ongoing learning? So any books you're reading or podcasts you're listening to or anything along those lines?
I am rereading the book The Dip by Seth Godin, who's one of my favorite authors. And I love the book because it is about how to identify when what you're working on isn't going to work, and how to identify when you're working on is simply in what he calls the dip, where it's really, really hard and most people quit, and how to push through that. And one of the points he makes is that you should pick the one thing that you can be the best at in the whole world. And that's the thing where you should focus all of your time and resources and push through the dip. And everything else you should quit. Mm-hmm. And it's a good reminder for me to say, what is that at this point in my career? What do I think I can be better at than anyone else in the world? And how can that benefit the world?
Yeah.
It really, again, that question of what do you do better than anyone else? And what does the world most need you to do?
Uh-huh. I love that. Did this book kind of inspire your question of the year then?
I think so. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like it. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it, but I love Seth Godin's materials. And I'm assuming this is one that I need to add to my reading list, which I say with hesitation because my reading list is really long.
It's short and easy to read.
Okay. Well, that makes it easy for me to add it onto
the
list. I think
we all have that big stack of books that we really need to read.
Yeah, yes. I do. And I tend to read about like 7 or 8 at a time, which is here's a chapter over here and a chapter over there. Mm-hmm. My husband really questions what I'm doing and why are there books all over the house. I'm like, don't worry about it. I just want to sit down and pick up whatever's in front of me. Good. That sounds really quite interesting. All right. So I know you've listened to a couple episodes. I don't know if you've listened to some recent ones, but I've been kind of throwing the mic back at my guests and giving you an opportunity to interview me. So what is a question that you'd like to ask me?
What would your 20-year-old self do differently if you had to do it over again?
Oh, that's really good. You know, I should actually pay attention to my own questions and start thinking about how I'd answer them. I think that I would put more emphasis on trying to identify a mentor and someone that I could bounce ideas off of and kind of the professional development decision-making process and flow and have someone to kind of really look up to and get some ongoing guidance and direction from.
How do you think things would have turned out differently if you had had that in your life?
I think I would have paid more attention to the networking side of relationship building, and probably a little bit more emphasis on my own personal education as well. The first couple of years are more just like, woohoo, let's... I'm free. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually buckled down. And I think now I love learning new things constantly. So earlier on, I wish I would have paid a little bit more attention to building the relationships with people that I was going to school with and my professors and, you know, along those lines instead of just do whatever it takes to just pass the class and move on. So I think a mentor would have given a little bit of direction in that standpoint, too.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about going back and connecting to your professors or some of your classmates?
I have just a small handful of individuals that I do stay in touch with now. And I was a non-traditional student, which most of the other individuals that I attended with were as well. So we did nights and evenings, weekends, and kind of cranked through them as quickly as we could.
Mm-hmm.
I should kind of reach out again, though. I mean, LinkedIn technology makes it really easy to do that.
It does.
And I know a lot of institutions really put a lot of emphasis in the alumni programs. That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I should do that. Thanks for challenging me there.
Well, one of the things I've found is because my database goes back 20 years or more, I will pull a name out of the hat that I haven't talked to in 10 years or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside voice says, no, don't call them. They won't want to hear from you. But I always say, nope, it's my job to ask and their job to say no. And I have really been blessed with, over the last couple of years, people who I haven't connected to in years.
Sure.
And the reception has always been very warm and welcoming. And I think there's just great blessing in that.
I agree. I think there's nothing wrong with that outreach of someone that's from your past. Everyone's very much living in a day-to-day mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And probably thinking it'd be nice to hear from this person, see what they're doing. It is a good challenge to kind of throw out there and nurturing some of those relationships. I like that mm-hmm. you do that. I'm sure it's well received too.
Yeah, people are surprised
mm-hmm.
and usually in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all get too busy
yeah.
to do that intentionally. So that's really why I wanted to be intentional about my relationship building.
Yeah.
So that I carved out that time in my life for
it's
that.
Important. Nice. Well done. All right. Good questions. Thank you so much. So, Kay, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Just do it. Just make time on your calendar. Even if it's, I'm going to take one meeting a month with someone who I can't figure out why they're important to me, but let's just have some fun and have coffee. And we call those people mystery people. They aren't a potential client. They aren't another consultant that we work with. Not really sure why we're getting together, but It's always worth the effort. So I make time in my calendar for that kind of serendipitous, let's see where this goes. You never know.
Yeah, I think that's really good to kind of relight a flame to some extent. And, you know, they were in your database for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You went to put them in there if you didn't feel there was a connection to some degree, right?
Right.
It's a good challenge. I think once a month is a realistic, doable activity for those that are living in the day-to-day busy craziness that our society has become. And honor it. You know, I think to some extent you put in your calendar and honor that time and build those relationships.
Right. And make time for someone reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. So I get a lot of those calls. Hey, someone said I should talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I try to make time for that.
Cool. Well done. All right, Kay, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
You can go to our website, outsightnetwork.com, and that's spelled OUTSIGHT. We thought we had made up a word, and it actually is a word in the dictionary that's fallen out of usage. It means the power of perceiving external things.
Oh, interesting.
So you can go to our website. You can connect to me on LinkedIn. I always say yes to those connections. So reach out. And for those who want to practice their networking, we are holding an event in October called Fearless Weekend right here in the Milwaukee area. October 11th and 12th, and there's information about that event at our website. It's a great way, especially for those who maybe are a little nervous about going to a big networking event.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a smaller, more intimate networking opportunity, a Friday night dinner, Saturday all day. We have some people coming and sharing new concepts and ideas, and there'll be opportunities to give feedback and exchange ideas. It's just going to be a really cool, cool gathering.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We'll include all of that information in our show notes. Thank you so much
Excellent.
For taking the time to be on the show today.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's been a pleasure.
It's a great conversation. Love the stories that you shared. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Kay Edwards for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.